Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Hey, this is the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, and you're listening to the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast.
It's the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast with the Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your host. He is a Stallion. I am the Enforcer. And this week we are joined by a very special guest. And as of 24 hours ago, a very coveted guest. We'd like to welcome Scott Keith from the blogofdoom.com to the show. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
We appreciate your time. You've been a longtime professional wrestling contributor, reviewer. I've been reading your stuff, as Joe has, for quite some time. And we're looking to get your take on what happened this weekend at AEW All Out and NXT UK TakeOver. But I want to touch base on the news that you broke yesterday. And if I'm reading the title correctly, Drunkico loses title belt. Yesterday, you broke the story that Chris Jericho lost his brand new AEW world title. How did this happen? How did you find out? Give me the scoop. What happened yesterday?
Somebody, it's kind of funny. One of my frequent email contributors just kind of sent me a link about halfway during the day. I didn't really know what was going on with it. So I just kind of posted it because I kind of thought I was kind of half thinking it was a joke or something along those lines, and just came up with a punchline for it. Basically, it's kind of like my usual thing on the blog, and then yeah, all of a sudden it just kind of exploded a little bit. ESPN picked up the story because apparently nobody else had actually checked into this police report before, and I was the first website where somebody had actually, you know, done so, because they were trying to keep it quiet, I suppose, for obvious reasons, and went kind of just went from there. And then he got his belt back today, so everything's obviously quieted down a little bit, but it was quite the interesting little thing there. Although, of course, nobody actually linked back to my website, which I'm a little bit bitter about, because I didn't really get any extra traffic out of it. But you know, what can you do?
Really, I will give Sports Illustrated credit, because I read it on Sports Illustrated and they linked directly to your website. So at least there's somebody out there with some dignity in the reporting world.
Well, that's nice. I mean, I kind of understand, you know, they didn't want to link to a story that was titled, you know, Drunkico loses title belt, because I mean, you know, they're real journalists and I'm not, obviously. Right. But so I can kind of understand where they might have been coming from there a little.
Well, I know there's a lot of people online that, you know, it's professional wrestling. They think everything's storyline. They think everything is a work. But this is a real legitimate story that was on the police blotter for, in Chicago. Like, this is 100% a legitimate story, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And now the title belt was recovered today. I read, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but the title was found on the side of the street. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was the story was kind of a weird one too, because the the Tallahassee police posted the picture of them having the title belt. They found it somewhere, and then they pulled the story. They actually deleted the post, so it was hard to actually verify anything. And I think it was back up again, but I'm not 100% sure. It actually had disappeared over a couple of points during the day, so I was actually having a hard time tracking it down because I was kind of interested to find out what had actually happened with it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. I mean, the story was up. It was on Twitter. It was off Twitter. People were screen grabbing it. I think that's what led people to believe it was more of a storyline than anything else, with the police taking it down. I mean, Corey Graves referencing it on SmackDown. It is one of the most random. It's all professional wrestling, right? There are millions of stories like this, and this just adds to the luster of the sport that we love so much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's Jericho obviously has a good sense of humor about it. He was kind of leaning into it. Unfortunately, the people who ran his website didn't have much of a sense of humor about it, because I had been sort of getting ready to be a contributor to Chris Jericho's Web of Jericho site, and they actually asked me to leave earlier this morning. So, you know, that's the way that goes, I guess, but which I thought was kind of funny, because, you know, Jericho himself is making fun of the whole drunk aspect of it, and I guess the people who run the site weren't quite so happy with my headline of it, but, you know, such is life.
That's kind of rough news, because Chris Jericho, the guy that's been around the business for however many years, he could take a joke, and, you know, it's so for the people that run his website to not be able to take a joke, you know, I hope nothing but the best for your site after this, and hopefully this drums up some more traffic, and they, you know, people go to your site knowing that you do check your sources and everything you post is, you know, with witty headlines, and you make the reading part of the website a little more entertaining than just a lot of the, paint by numbers recaps there are. So I hope it drums up a lot of traffic for you. I will say that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, social media is a wonderful thing. So let's keep our fingers crossed. But, you know, it was a very busy weekend in the world of professional wrestling. There were three big shows on Saturday. There was the New Japan Royal Quest show, which unfortunately didn't upload for like, you know, 3 or 4 days. But we had a NXT TakeOver Cardiff, and we had the AEW All Out show. Let me ask you, did you watch the NXT TakeOver show live?
Yes, I watched everything live on Saturday. It was brutal.
Yeah, long day of professional wrestling.
Long day of wrestling, yes, absolutely. My original plan actually I was actually kind of planning on ordering the Royal Quest show as well in the morning on Fight TV and trying to squeeze that in for everything, but I figured I just couldn't do it. I would have died if I had tried to watch 11 hours of wrestling on that Saturday. I think my poor family as well, they probably would have died as well. Right. I'm pretty sure.
The older I get, the earlier I fall asleep. So it would have been, I wouldn't have made it either.
Oh yeah, I know. People have long made the observation now on my blog that I'm turning into a cranky old man, because you can always tell the point of the, in my rants when, it's getting to be late in the evening and the shows are running too long, and I'm just like, I turn into the, you know, the time to shut off the show and go to bed kind of old man mode, right? So yeah.
The get off my lawn old
get
man.
Off my, right? Exactly. Yeah, I know. God, I'm turning into Undertaker in 2000. It's really bad now.
Listen, I think it's even worse when you're at one of those shows, right? Like when you're at, like I went to SummerSlam not last year, the year before, and it was, I had a good time, don't get me wrong, but I was sitting there for 7 hours. I'm like, my ass hurts, man. It's a long time in a chair.
Oh yeah, no, I can't imagine these poor people who sit there for that time for these 5-hour pay-per-views, or like, you know, the giant TV tapings with 205 Live and everything beforehand. Oh, I, you know, two and a half hour house show, is that's plenty of wrestling for me.
Yeah, I mean, Joe and I would go to the Evolve shows. I mean, and it's like a 2 hours and 20 minutes straight wrestling, you know, a beginning, end, no intermission, good matches, mm-hmm. and you're out. Now you go to a Raw, and Raw is 3.5 hours plus the pre-show. It's a lot to sit through, and you have to be a very, a very dedicated viewer, I should say, to sit through all that. But as far as the NXT TakeOver Cardiff show, did you have high hopes going to that show, high expectations?
I had really no expectations. I don't really follow the NXT UK product, and I actually had a couple of friends who were basically saying, "Oh yeah, you should check it out," kind of thing. I'm always happy to try out new stuff like that, and I really quite like the show. I do feel like there was a certain tinge of negativity to both of my reviews on the weekend, just because, like I say, it was a lot of wrestling, and I was getting pretty grumpy by the end of All Out. But I love Walter, and I didn't know how well the match with Tyler Bate would work exactly with that dynamic, and it was pretty much the perfect dynamic, you know, the big man, little man. The whole thing turned out great. The three-way tag team match was insanely entertaining. I might have been leaving a little hard on it, I think, in my review.
I was actually, I was going to bring that up because I really did enjoy that tag match. You went 3.5 for that. Looking back on it now, given a chance to, let the grumpiness subside, would you keep it at 3.5 stars?
I might go 4, actually. It was a very, very entertaining match, I thought.
And I think the UK crowd makes such a difference compared to, the regular crowd. I mean, the NXT American NXT crowd is good, but I mean, I love Progress, over the OTT wrestling. I mean, those crowds, they really make the show, and they got so hard behind Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews in that match. And to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like when you have like the UK crowd, like, they don't boo the good guys because it's a cool thing to do. Like, they cheer the people they're supposed to cheer, and it just makes the match a little more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, they're just so into it. I really want to put over OTT as well, because I'm all over their YouTube channel all the time watching random matches from them, and it's just they have such great presentation and such great crowds. Like, they're just so into everything. The whole gimmick of the crowd singing along with the match is going to be a little obnoxious sometimes, but it's like, you can't fault them for having fun out there, right? Like, it's
right, as long as
Cole says, they're having fun, but like, these crowds are legitimately having fun out there.
Right. I mean, you pay money to have fun, as long as it doesn't take away from the match. And I'll definitely agree with you about OTT. The video package they had for Jordan Devlin and David Starr, I don't know if you got a chance to watch that match. It's one of my favorite matches of the year. So they do really, really great stuff. And they're on the Powerslam.tv, which we're a part of as well. And they put all their good stuff on YouTube. So, I mean, listen, free wrestling is wrestling that's for me. That's for sure. Ilya Dragunov, big fan of him. I've watched him a lot in Progress. Cesaro to the NXT UK brand. Is that a long-term thing? What do you think?
I don't think so, especially because he came back to the US and got beat by The Miz on Mondays. That's quite the reward for having a great match on NXT UK. But I think, I don't know if it's long-term or not, but it certainly did seem like they were possibly setting him up for Walter, which would be a crazy match. I'm pretty sure if that happens.
Yeah, that's something, I mean, I would 100% be on board with. I thought we were going to see maybe a Kings of Wrestling reunion with him and Cassius Ohno. That's I think someone's got some legs too. I'm a huge fan of both those guys, and Ohno is just taking his American NXT duties and kind of bring it over to NXT UK. But if that's what he wants to do, more power to him. Does Ilya Dragunov, you think, have a future in NXT UK? That kind of his size, his character, is that something that really has some legs that they can get behind?
I wish you'd get rid of the stupid contacts, but I mean, like, he looked good, man. I was really impressed with Dragunov. I thought that they were setting him up to go in there and be, the guy who gets steamrolled by Cesaro and, in the open challenge. But no, he really made a good showing for himself. He hung in there with Cesaro and had showed some great moves. And I think he's got some potential.
Yeah, he's so intense. I mean, and when he debuted in Progress last year, I didn't know who he was before I saw him debut in Progress, and the crowd was literally rabid. That dude, he's got such amazing intensity, and you're right, the contacts do make him look like a second-rate Sub-Zero, but aside from that, if you were to get rid of those contacts, he's a, he's a guy I think definitely has a future. I got to tell you, Joe was very upset with the Noam Dar versus Travis Banks match. And watching it, is it me or did that match just feel like it went on forever?
Yeah, it was actually quite long for the opener. I thought a couple of the matches, they were trying to stretch out a little too much, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel Noam Dar. I'm not into it. Whatever character he's trying to do with it just doesn't work for me. And the match didn't work, but I mean, it was a, a well-worked match and the crowd was into it, but yeah, that was not the best choice for an opener. I'd say I thought if they put the three-way tag team match on as the opener, I think that might've been the way to go with it, to be honest.
Yeah, the crowd would have been even hotter than they were. And I agree with you about Dar. I mean, no disrespect to the guy, but I've had a lot of trouble getting into his matches. The most memorable thing I can remember is the I think he had a storyline with Alicia Fox at some point. That's the most memorable thing from Noam Dar, and that's that's not good. You know, if that's what I remember, that's not good. Now, main event, you said it was, I mean, the main event was, it was what it was. It was damn near 50 minutes. It was a hell of a match between two. I mean, Tyler Bate, part of Mustache Mountain, everybody loves him. Walter is your mobile, better working 2019 Andre the Giant kind of figure. How does that match stack up against other matches this year that you've put in that five-star realm?
Oh, yeah, it's a unique type of match compared to some of the other ones in that same realm. I mean, most of them have been done by Johnny Gargano this year. He's kind of had a stranglehold on my star ratings, but I really liked it because it was a throwback to like the older style. It was very much in the mold of a Sting Vader match with the big guy throwing around the little guy, but the little guy keeps coming back and getting the hope spots and doing the power moves. It was really different. That's what I really love most about it. It was just not the kind of thing that you're seeing out of these guys. Like, Walter's not going out there and doing dives, right? Like, Walter doesn't care if he entertains you or does dives. You know, Walter's out there to work and get the job done. That's what I really admire about his matches as well. So there's just no wasted motion on him. Everything he does has a purpose and everything he does flows together. And it's like one thing leads to another thing, and then usually it results in more pain for the other guy. And just, he's not out there doing anything, superfluous, or like a Seth Rollins, going out and doing three dives in a row or anything like that. And, nothing against Seth, because Seth's a fantastic worker, but it's really kind of a shame that Walter is kind of confining himself to Europe for the time being here, because I think he'd be a fantastic addition to the U.S., but better for NXT UK, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic comparison you made between Sting and Vader, because growing up, I was such a WCW guy growing up, and the Sting and Vader matches were some of my favorite, and Vader and Walter, I don't know why I haven't put it together until right now, but those guys, that's a great dynamic, and I would agree with you in terms of what his potential is outside of the NXT UK realm, and that's something, I can picture him going to NXT, but I can't picture them kind of getting behind him on, one of the quote-unquote main shows. He doesn't seem like a Vince guy to me. He's a guy that, they would push. They have their monster and Braun Strowman, and I think they're okay with that. But to bring him into NXT, which, it kind of seems like they're doing that now. They had the, forgive me her name, challenge Shayna Baszler for the title on NXT last week. Part of me wonders if there's going to be, now that their NXT is going to be going to USA, if they're going to be bringing in some of the, they're going to have to introduce more people, I guess, to the NXT roster. And if they do, count me in for Walter. He's a guy that I would love to see over here. And, with Pete Dunne as well coming over, I think there's going to be more crossover to get as many eyeballs as they can on on the show. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I really think it would be beneficial, honestly, to merge the two brands together at this point now, the UK and then the regular NXT. I think it's, they need a way to expand the show out to an hour now. And I mean, really, they share a lot of audience on both of the shows. I know Walter has expressed no interest in coming over to the US. He's basically said outright he's just going to stay in Europe and do his thing over there. But I mean, there's a lot of the top guys from NXT UK, like the British Strong Style guys, they just fit in perfectly NXT already. And, obviously, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne are known entities to the main NXT audience and are crazy over as it is, and they've already been NXT Tag Team Champions. So, it's really, there's not a huge amount of point in maintaining separate brands between the two of them at this point now.
Yeah, and that's a good point about Dunn and Bate. And before we get to the AEW show, real quick, do you think they're going to be able to sustain the momentum, the WWE that is, with NXT going to USA? It's going to be a 2-hour show. Do you think they're going to be able to sustain the momentum they have, putting together they only have a 1-hour show right now and it's taped and they have more, time to edit and things like that? Do you think it's going to be that much of a difference when they go to 2 hours?
Boy, I don't know. It might be rough. It's the thing is, I don't really watch the regular NXT show that much. I mean, because as a TV show, it's not really vital. It's mostly, you know, a lot of basic squash matches and some promos and stuff. But the thing that NXT has already done really great, especially with the TakeOver shows quarterly, is they've basically made it so you don't need to watch their own weekly television. Like, they do such an amazing job of recapping things on TakeOver that you could pretty much just jump into that and they'll get you up to speed with all the characters and the issues and everything like that as a self-contained thing on a TakeOver show. And the TV show itself is kind of almost unnecessary in a lot of ways. So there's going to be some adjustments that are going to have to be made there from Triple H going over to more of a weekly continuous format. And I don't know, it's going to be the Wild West on Wednesdays, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you said what you said about really not having to watch the weekly show, because I feel the same way. And there's so much wrestling right now. It really is the kind of era when you could pick and choose. Last week, I did watch, and they had Dijakovic versus Keith Lee.
I just called Dijak. I'm so sick of that name. God.
Every time I call him Dijak, Joe corrects me. But, Dijak versus Keith Lee was a great match. And in the main event, they had the Street Profits who... Yeah. You know, I already feel terrible for them based on what they have to do on Monday nights, lose to the Undisputed Era, which I was fine with. But that kind of show, that's one of the rare ones, like you said. You know, for the most part, it is those extended squash matches and Mia Yim beating up somebody, you know, and a good closing segment.
The thing as well with you know, the positioning on the WWE Network is that when something like a Keith Lee versus a Dijakovic match happens and it's, you know, this amazing match, then it's guaranteed I'm going to get an email 5 minutes later. Somebody will be like, you have to go watch NXT right now. And then it's like, okay, well then fine, I'll go watch NXT, right? Like, it's, you know, it's pretty much a perfect system. I don't have to watch the show. And if something does happen, then somebody's going to tell me about it. And I just go watch it. You know, it's not really a conditioning thing where you have to watch the weekly TV show. And that might be NXT's numbers are relatively low on the WWE Network, is what everybody's always said. So it might be a bit of a challenge to kind of condition people to start watching the product as a weekly thing.
Do you think that by them bringing over some of the quote-unquote main roster guys, they're going to try to find a way to combat that?
That might be part of it, yeah. I know there's a lot of main roster guys who want to go to NXT, to be honest. I mean, you know, there's lots of people who aren't having much going on the main roster, and it would probably be better off going down there anyway. So that could definitely be something that would help a lot, if only because, you know, they do have the experience doing the live TV show every week, and, you know, they can lend their experience to that.
Sure. Michael Kanellis and Maria are just two that come to mind right away. I mean, Maria was saying on her Instagram yesterday, she's like, she tried to get to NXT. You know, they just, for whatever reason, they refused to do that. But I think those are two people. I mean, you could even put Maria and Mike right into the Undisputed Era for me. I mean, it's just so much room for so much possibility, and with 2 hour show, it's going to be a lot of television to fill for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I say, it's going to be the Wild West. Who knows? I'm kind of interested to know, but it's kind of funny thing is that they haven't announced a TV deal for either show up here in Canada yet. So I don't know if NXT is going to be airing on a Canadian TV station, and we don't know if AEW is going to be airing on a Canadian TV station.
Really, there has been no news on a Canadian. Wow, that I didn't know. So. Yep. I mean, what happened? So the WWE is going to continue to show the NXT on the network on Thursday. So that's going to be your only source of NXT. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the presumption would be that NXT airs on Sportsnet 360 up here in Canada, which is the same channel that carries Raw and SmackDown. However, they frequently show hockey games on Wednesday nights. Like, that's one of their regular things. So, I mean, there might not be space for it on Wednesdays. And I mean, you know, if I have to watch it on Thursday, then it's, you know, no big loss, but it just seems like kind of it would be a little bit of a lost opportunity if they didn't find a way to air it in opposition to AEW, wherever they end up.
Yeah, and of, you know, the AEW show as well, that's, you know, that's, I ECW got such a boost when they became more readily available to Canada, so I think that would be a market they would both want to tap as quickly as possible, especially with this.
Oh, yeah, no, Cody has said that they're trying to get into Canada to do something. The presumption is that it would end up on TSN, which is the rival of Sportsnet in Canada, the kind of the other major sports station that's kind of aligned with ESPN in the U.S. But they have not made any announcement yet, and there's very other very few other options that they go with. Like, there's Fight Network, which is kind of where ROH and New Japan on Access air up here, which is like a very high on the dial premium channel that not many people have. And also Impact, I think, airs on there too, if I'm not mistaken, because they own that. So that might not be a good fit, because, you know, obviously Anthem doesn't want to necessarily air a competitor on their own channel. So
sure. Yeah,
I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
I mean, and we're, what, 3 weeks away or 2 weeks away from
the debut? 3 weeks away, yeah, exactly, yeah. We don't even know the name of the show yet.
Oh, that's true. What was it, Wednesday Night Dynamite, I think, was being tossed around. Who knows? I don't think, I'm sure it's going to be revealed on a future Being the Elite. And listen, speaking of AEW, we sat through, almost 5 hour show, including the pre-show on Saturday night. The pre-show wasn't much. It was Jack Evans and Angelico versus Private Party. I do like Private Party. I mean, these guys seem like they have the charisma. They have a future in the AEW tag division. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, they look good. Apparently I was spelling Mark Quinn's name wrong, so people were on me about that a little bit, but they didn't really give any graphics to explain that. So, you know, which is essentially, well, that's another, it's kind of another minor problem with AEW, I find, is they don't do a really great job of explaining who any of the characters are. But Private Party, they made a good showing. Boy, Jack Evans is having quite a renaissance in AEW, though, isn't he? Like, I'm kind of surprised, because he hadn't heard his name around forever. And then him and Angelico, you know, escaped from Lucha Underground, and they seem to be just out there having a ball, just, you know, doing opening matches and pre-shows and stuff. And
just having
they're fun. Getting over and doing things. Just having fun, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, compared to what Jack Evans was doing, you know, in Ring of Honor 15 years ago, it's definitely a far cry, but I think in a better way, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Honest. And yeah, I think
the other pre-show match was the Women's Battle Royal, and I got just like, I watched a little bit of it, but I got like just scathing hatred emails about it telling me, you know, that I should watch it and tear it to pieces because it was a botch-filled, you know, terror thing. But I don't know. I watched a little bit. I didn't really notice anything too horrible with it, but I wasn't really paying that much attention to it, to be honest.
The only thing that really stood out to me was when Nyla Rose almost killed Priscilla Kelly and she dropped her flat on the outside instead of on the other girls that were on the outside. So that was a scary spot. But yeah, I also saw bits and pieces of that. What did stick out to me early in the show was, I mean, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt, they have such a bright future. I'm such a fan of these guys.
Yeah, which is funny because I hated Austin on Big Brother when he's on there because I'm like, you know, everybody always makes fun of me because I'm like one of the world's biggest Big Brother fans. And yeah, it just blew my mind that.
So is Taz. Taz loves Big Brother and he always talks about it. So you're in good company.
Oh, that's good to know then. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just it blew my mind that is because I'd been talking to my friend about it and yeah, and I'm like, oh man, this Luchasaurus guy. How come they, you know, WWE didn't ever jump on this guy? Like, how did AEW get them? And he's like, no, he was Judas Devlin in NXT. And I'm like, what? Oh shit, that's Austin from Big Brother. Are you kidding me? Like, oh god. Like, so my wife, however, I will say that was actually an interesting thing because then made my wife interested to want to watch because she was, because we watched Big Brother together, right? And like, she was like, what? That's Austin, no way. And she wanted to see him. And then, and obviously, and of course, you know, like Luke Perry's son on there too is another hook in there. So they've got this really interesting mainstream hook for fans to get in there with this tag team who are really over. So they got something. And then, of course, they lost their match, which is just like, I don't even know what to do with that anymore, but yeah, no, I Luchasaurus, I think, yeah, they should just push the crap out of that guy.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, you kind of alluded to it in your review, but there were a lot of questionable decisions in regards to the wins and losses. I know their AEW is really pushing how much wins and losses do matter. Would you have had Kenny Omega go 0-2 in his first two matches on pay-per-view in AEW?
No, definitely not. I don't know. It's... I don't know. I feel like you. It's watching the show is like watching like the Harry Potter movies without having read the books. Like where you kind of like you have a general idea of what's going on, but you're missing all of this backstory that everybody else has that you don't have, kind of thing. Because you know people saying, "Oh yeah, Kenny Omega is like." it was like this and this in Japan and this on Being the Elite. And it's like, well, not everybody watches those things or knows who Kenny Omega is. And it's, you know, especially when you're going to national TV, in a couple of weeks here, and you want to put your best foot forward. And it's like, Kenny Omega is the guy who's going to be the big star of the show. And he's out here on this losing streak out there. And it just, I don't understand necessarily the mentality behind it. It's just, it's really weird. I mean, maybe I'm old school, but it's like, he's going to be the big star of the show. So have him go out there and beat some people, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, and I heard that Pac is not really signed long term, so I don't get it. I mean, at least if he was going to lose, you could build an angle around it. Maybe somebody calls him X, Y, and Z, even a video of Moxley or something like that. But no, that was I take nothing away from the match, however. The match was an incredible wrestling match, and I'm a huge fan of what Pac's able to do, and I thought the finish was even pretty intriguing. But it was just, like you said, it was caught me by surprise, that's for sure.
I'm nothing against Pac winning or anything like that. I mean, you know, it's fine. It's just, as far as the big picture goes, though, they should protect Kenny Omega a little bit better, I feel like.
Which is weird, coming from Japan, where he was, invincible. So I think it's an interesting dynamic. Speaking of invincible, Darby Allin, Jimmy Havoc, and Joey Janela. I feel like all three of those guys are video game characters, and they... Darby Allin has the award for two of the worst things I've ever seen happen in a pro wrestling match. The coffin drop on the apron and...
Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, the Cracker Barrel of Doom. There you go, the Cracker Barrel of Doom.
Barrel of Doom, yes, there you go, coin that one.
The way the guy landed, he landed at the V, the divot in the, and it, I don't know. I couldn't stop watching the match, though. Like, I literally could not turn away.
It was something. The match was something. I basically texted my friend at the end of the match. I was like, what the hell did I just see? And
it was something.
It was something. It was not boring. I gave it 4 stars. I was like, I was not bored watching this match. I will give it that. I was cringing and like kind of embarrassed to be watching it at points. Like, he was dumping the thumbtacks in his mouth and taping his mouth shut. But it's like, boy, it was entertaining. And on that level alone, I have to give him props.
Yeah, and the thumbtack skateboard spot from Darby Allin. Like, anybody who watched that match, like, if you see either of these three guys in a match on the next show or on TNT, you're like, oh man, I'm gonna have to watch this because of this match. So I would agree with the 4 stars because I feel like they accomplished exactly what they set out to do.
Except I don't know about the staple gun though. It's really weird because like New Jack used a staple gun, but I'm pretty sure it was a worked staple gun where there wasn't actually staples in it. And it's like, is Jimmy Havoc out there actually stapling himself? Like, is this what we've proceeded to in the HD era, where you have to use real staples so that you can fool people? Like, I don't know. That's questionable.
You can do what WWE does and just cut away every time there's any sort of impact shot whatsoever, and then zoom all the way out.
Oh God, have you ever watched on a total bit of a tangent here? Their recap videos on YouTube.
No,
it's really, really fascinating. I fell down the rabbit hole of their website where they'd be doing top 10. There's one, my favorite one currently watching is like, it'll recap all of like John Cena's 16 world title wins, right? Like, you know, for people such as myself who can't keep track of them anymore. It's really handy. You just go through they just show the finishes of all the match. Anyway, but it's like, if somebody's bleeding, you get a black and white screen because it has to be, you know, family friendly on YouTube. And, you know, somebody goes for a chair shot, they edit it out, right? Like, you see them swinging the chair,
the crowd will come back, right?
Yeah, like, it's nuts, the editing that they do for this stuff. It's like being in this alternate universe where chair shots don't happen or something. It's really strange. AEW, however, is going in the complete opposite direction from that. There is chair shots galore at AEW, and some of them are quite brutal.
Do you remember the old, I think it was Brutus Beefcake and Ron Bass?
The big red X. Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's
classic. Now that... when I was a kid, I was like, oh my, I'm like, he's killing
and
that.
That was terrifying. Exactly. Yeah. I was like, yeah, what's going on under that red X, man? Like, geez.
Yes. Blur it out at least, but you know, don't insult the intelligence of the fan, you know? Yeah. And I think that's, that's why everybody's looking for such an alternative right now. I also want to agree with what you said about the Dark Order. As much as I loved Super Smash Brothers, I don't get it with the Dark Order, and I don't think I'm the only one missing that either.
Yeah, no, I don't really understand the gimmick. I don't get what it's. Well, I don't get where it came from, and yeah, I don't get why they keep putting them over all these matches, and Luchasaurus keeps losing. It really makes no sense to me. They don't look like stars, is the thing, and it's just, you know, they're just point where I want to watch wrestling and have escapism. I want to see people who are larger than life stars, and these look like a couple of guys. You know, one of whom is wearing a mask, and why are you guys scary? You know, like I don't get it.
If you want to see larger-than-life stars, then I hope you tune into afterwards, and you get to see the debut of Orange Cassidy.
Mm-hmm. And now this man, hey, I'm big on the Orange Cassidy train, but
he's a very
specific type of of appeal, you know. Yeah,
yeah, he's the new Captain Charisma. Orange Cassidy I think he's got the potential to be one of the most over guys in AEW. Strictly for the, I mean. A crowd reacts when the man's aviators fall off. For the love of God, he's got him in the palm of his hand.
Yes, he does. Yeah, Orange George Cassidy is fantastic. People, I don't know, people give grief about it, but I'm like, this guy has found his niche and he is leaning into it. So good on him.
Yeah, and when he has to work, he works, and he's a hell of a wrestler. And I think it's the perfect, the perfect combination. Ryo versus Hikaru Shida. I don't want to say I found it tough to get into this match. I mean, they put on a perfectly acceptable wrestling match, but it was all for the angle afterwards. Are you in on Riho and Nyla Rose?
No, I don't. I don't really understand where they're going. Like, they have Dr. Britt Baker. Like, isn't that supposed to be their star? Like, why? I don't understand. Like, they're building up, you know, some women to be supposedly be their stars, and then yeah, their world title match is going to be Riho versus Nyla Rose on TNT. Like. I don't get some of their decision making as far as where they're going with this stuff. That just does not. It just doesn't feel like a big time world title program to me.
Yeah, there's no name recognition in either one of those. In either one of those women. I mean, Awesome Kong in there would have been a different story. Like I said, Dr. Britt Baker. But yeah,
even if they stuck Brandi Rhodes in there or something like that, right? You know, like it would have been. You know, as long as she loses, it's fine. But, you know, just, you know, something to give it some oomph behind it.
Yeah, a reason for people to tune in and say, oh, okay, I know the Rhodes last name or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Speaking of tuning in, you mentioned earlier, the later the show gets, the crankier you get. Sean Spears, Cody Rhodes, you tore the match apart. Does that does that review hold up?
I've watched the match again. I mean, people have said they really like in retrospect. Yeah, that's great. You know, people. I'm the first to say that. You know, my tastes are not necessarily the same as everybody else who might be watching. I don't know. I was not into the match at all. I'm not digging Sean Spears as a top guy. I don't know. I feel like they're just using him as kind of a stopgap for something for Cody Rhodes to do while they get to TNT. I guess would be the way to put it, but I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I felt like Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson eclipsed the star power of everybody in the match, and that's not great. And I don't know, the whole thing with the dog was really off-putting to me. Like, it was just, you know, the poor guy, you know, like the fireworks go off and he's all spooked and they're making him come down there.
Yeah, I did feel bad for Farrow. As soon as the fireworks went off, you could see it. It was like, oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, the whole thing with MJF, it just, I don't, that's another thing. See, that's another thing where it's like we're missing the backstory. People are like, oh, yeah, it's this whole thing with being the elite and stuff. And it's like, but if you're not watching that, they're not doing a very good job of explaining why it is that MJF is being a complete dick to everybody and is clearly a heel. But then he comes out and we're supposed to be sympathetic towards him because he's Cody Rhodes' best friend in real life, maybe? I'm not sure. Like, that was really underwhelming. Choice for the corner man after all the build up. Arn Anderson was still great, of course. I mean, you know, like say him and Tully are pros, right? Like, you know, they don't even have to be able to work in the ring. They can come out there and pop a crowd. And
yeah, neither one.
That's kind of star power.
Yeah, Tully Blanchard was great.
Tully Blanchard was great. Absolutely, Tully Blanchard's great.
And Arn Anderson, the crowd went crazy for. I think Joe had mentioned it. We were watching the show. Joe alluded to maybe we have Tully Blanchard in the J.J. Dillon Four Horsemen leader spot, and then MJF turns, and you get Sean Spears and some long-term booking. That, to me, I would be on board with that because it gives them all a sense of purpose. And maybe they're kind of waiting for these the backstory to all these feuds to develop for the TNT show. I don't know. It's had so many shows without, you know, that weekly show. I think they're going to have a lot of catching up to do on the first couple of weeks. And although I will say they did air that special on TNT on Friday night, where they did tell the story, but, you know, that wasn't really promoted enough. Because I didn't even know about it. So, and I watched
it. It did a big rating, apparently, though. So that's,
good.
That's a good sign, at least. Yeah. Did really well. I think, speaking of MGF, I think he's going to be a huge star. Like, they're going to put him on TNT. I think he's going to take off. It's like the character is like a combination between The Miz and Alberto Del Rio, and like, and he can work as well. I mean, like, yeah, he's got something.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a young age. You know, he wrestled his first match. I'm on Long Island, probably 20 minutes away at a Creative Pro show. And, you know, remember when that guy first started, and see where he is. He's got such a bright future. He's so easy to legitimately hate.
And I've been getting into MLW recently here too, watching that. Yeah, he's just such a fantastic character on that. Him and his gang of guys, you know, like going car shopping and stuff. It's just such easy, stupid heat, but it's just like he pulls it off so well.
Yeah, he's really just a detestable human being, and that's, I mean, in the best way possible. And, you know, he's not one of he's a real, like, that's the kind of heat you want. Kind of reminds me of like a almost like an early franchise Shane Douglas. Like, he had that kind of heat when he broke Pitbull's neck and that kind of thing. Like, that's the heat that you don't see anymore. Like, I'm going to cause a riot because I have so much disdain towards you kind of thing. So, he, you know, and if he turns on Cody, I think it's got money written all over it. So I guess we'll see. The last match on the show, we've seen it a couple times now, but Pentagon and Phoenix versus the Young Bucks. Did that hit all of the points you were hoping it was going to hit? I mean, I thought it was a really great match, and but the problem is, to me, we've seen so much from them. They had so much to do. Was that
100%
the epic match you were hoping?
Oh yeah, no, it was a great match. I don't want to see any more of it now. It's wonderful. I don't want to see poor Young Bucks. They were just that the one spot where Nick slipped on the top rope.
Caught, right?
Yeah. Oh god. Oh, that was terrifying.
He did just the same thing against at the ladder war match against the Briscoes, and the exact same thing happened to him. And he went face first through a table the exact same way. Like, worst luck I've ever seen, but yeah, no, you're good. Right.
Yeah, no, the matches are great. You know, it's crazy though. It's like, I really love their New Japan run from the last year or so. It's like, because, you know, they go over there and you have somebody like a Ghetto who just like completely reins them in, and it's like, okay, Matt, go out there and you get the story is you're going to sell your back for 15 minutes, and they just go out there and they work this like this great old school tag team matches. And. And they're just such a they can be a great team when, you know, they're toned down and, like, you know, just given a focus, and rather than going out there and jumping off ladders and smashing tables. And, you know, for what it is, obviously that's great. You know, that's their thing. But yeah, it kind of leads to the main thing with AEW, is they need to bring somebody in to be, you know, it's kind of like that guiding force. Like, they need a booker, somebody to come in there and see, you know, and tell these guys, you know, this is what you're going to do, and this is the direction that you're going to have.
And, you know, I also agree with you. I mean, I remember there were spots in his New Japan run when he was trying to get people up for the Meltzer driver, and he couldn't because his back was hurting, so Nick would come pick up.
That's fantastic stuff, yeah.
It's just day one tag team, really good stuff. So, no, I know what you mean. And, you know, hopefully, you're talking long-term booking. Was Adam Page, when we went to the main event real quick, was Adam Page the right guy to be in this match against Chris Jericho?
No, I don't think so. I part of me thinks that Chris Jericho wasn't the right guy to be in that match either. Kind of, but I mean, obviously things were screwed up because of circumstances with Pac and, you know, everything like that. So it wasn't the ideal thing. But yeah, I don't feel like Adam Page is ready yet for that position. It feels like he kind of got there because, you know, of the people he knows rather than really showing anything in the ring. But By the same token, they didn't do a very good job of getting him ready for it. I mean, like at the last the Fight for the Fallen show where he did like the it seemed like it was gonna be like a 20-minute draw with some, you know, undercard guy kind of thing, right? And it's like, you know, it was really weird build for it. He never really felt like a main eventer or anything like that, which is probably why I had such trouble maintaining interest in the match for as long as it went. Just didn't feel like a world title match. Wasn't the best choice.
I think it suffered from a terrible spot too. You know, to have to follow. Yeah. You know, the one train of thought is, you know, you should be able to top the match that was before you. That's your job. The other train of thought is, you know, like, leave the crowd wanting a little bit more. So you have a half hour ladder match with death defying spots, and it's like, okay, now the finish of this next match is this atrocious spinning back elbow. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
I can't say in the Judas Effect either. I think it's the worst thing I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah. I've been a little bit down on Chris Jericho. Maybe that's why he was mad at me, because I gave him like a star and a half for that match. We have a history with those kind of stuff. So yeah, it's hard to say.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
All in all, I liked, I liked the show. I think it was an easy watch, but, you know, again, the main event going 30 minutes, I think that's too much, too. I don't remember an Adam Page match going north of 20 minutes, so to have him go 30 minutes against almost 50-year-old Chris Jericho, who really has no business
either. They got to get their timing under control is another thing, too. Like, they're going to be on a tight 2-hour schedule on these TNT shows. Like, they've had the Fight for the Fallen and Fighter Fest. They just... there's these like sprawling shows where, you know, just like go out and you know, do it until you're finished and stuff. It's just they got to get under control. Like I say, they need somebody to come in and take control of these shows.
Yeah, they're bringing in Tony Schiavone. I know Tony was a producer for a long time.
Yeah, he'll help a lot, actually. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
One of the biggest things in his podcast is he complains about continuity in professional wrestling. So it seems like he's a stickler for that. So I hope having these veteran, you know, the JR, the Tony Schiavone, the guys that, you know, it's, you have to have that balance. You have to have the old school who knows how to, you know, get from point A to point B to point C. And then you have to have the new school whose ideas, but they're willing to listen to the older guys. So I think, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic for the product. And like you said, Wednesdays are literally going to be a shootout. And I hope for your sake up in Canada, I hope they find a TV deal for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm cheering hard for AEW to succeed. I mean, like, you know, obviously everybody's looking for something to give Vince a kick in the ass, right? So, I mean, hopefully this is what's going to do it for him, right? So, I mean, yeah, I really, really want them to you know, do better for it. And, I was a little, I feel like obviously I was, a little bit harder on the show than necessarily. I'm thinking back on it, I like the show more, I think, than I gave credit for. It still wasn't the home run that Double or Nothing was. I mean, they saw Double or Nothing, and I was like ready running out the street with AEW signs, you know, and like, you know, like, yeah, you know. And this one is like, I didn't really feel the buzz going into it so much from people, and it didn't really do so great as far as numbers go on my website either. So I think it was kind of telling that interest was a little bit down in it overall. But yeah, no, I like something different, and I appreciate that. You know, they went out there and did something like, you know, the Cracker Barrel match, which is not everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, it's something you're not going to see on WWE. And, you know, like Orange Cassidy is somebody you're not going to see on WWE, that's for sure. So, I mean, they're putting in the effort to at least go out there and provide some kind of alternative to it. And that's commendable.
And I think if you're going to watch a 3-hour, 3.5-hour AEW show, you're going to get different things throughout the entire show. It's not going to be just one... almost like you watch a Raw now or even a pay-per-view. It looks like one long continuous match. Everybody sounds the same. Every match looks the same, you know. And if you're not on board with King Baron Corbin, you know, the good news is there are plenty of other opportunities out there for you to watch professional wrestling, and you don't have to watch, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays. But if you can watch Monday and Tuesday and take it for what it's worth and enjoy what you enjoy it, and not there. I hate the divide, though, you know, like I'm team WWE, I'm team AEW, I'm team Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
There's a million different avenues of content out there. There's no reason to be, you know,
it's okay to like both products. Absolutely. Yes, I know. It's, yeah. One, liking one does not preclude liking liking the other one. Absolutely. It's a weird thing even going on in the comments on my blog where people are dividing up like that. It's like, well, you know what? I don't care. I watch whoever makes me money, you know? So it's like, if they're both going to be successful, then fine. I'll cover both of them, you know, like that's great. Bring it on.
Right. And there's nothing that can say, like, you could watch Tony Nese versus Mike Bennett on 205 Live, and then you don't have to watch SmackDown if there's nothing on there that you find, and you want to watch MLW, you can do that. You don't have to, you know, it's not 100% devotion to anything. It's a world of choice right now, and the more, you know, the more wrestling for the fans and for people like yourself who can review it, the better. I love the reviews that you do, but my favorite were the retro rants. I love the, you know, the throwbacks. I was just looking at the Survivor Series 1991 the other day. If you want to check all these out, you guys got to make sure you go to blogofdoom.com. Scott, how long have you been doing this for?
Oh, I started in 1993 when I was in university, so it's been a long time.
Wow. I mean, I remember reading on 411, I think it was 411 Wrestling is when I first, you know, read your stuff years ago, and you know, it's a funny read. It doesn't read like every, like I said, cookie cutter review does. It's got wit in there, and it's a very easy, it's an easy scroll, if you will. So nothing but continued success. I hope the Chris Jericho thing gets hammered out. If nothing else, I hope it brings a ton more downloads and views to your website. And again, it's blogofdoom.com. He's Scott Keith. Scott, thank you so much for joining the show. We really appreciate it this week.
You're very welcome. I'm always glad to help out.
Awesome.